My name's John Scaife. I'm a member of staff in the School of Education, University of Sheffield, and I have with me my colleague Grace Hoskins, who's also in the department and works with me on several teaching courses. And what I'd like to do is to ask Grace about her experiences of coming to use diagnostic assessment and diagnostic teaching. So can we start off by saying, what sort of context do you use diagnostic assessment in your work at the moment?
I teach on two courses, the PGCE course, which is a teacher training course for secondary school teachers, specialising in science, and I also teach on the MA-ABSE course. And I principally use diagnostic teaching with my PGCE students. We have the interesting situation that when we're training our science students, they need to be able to teach all three sciences in a school, in a secondary school, so chemistry, physics and biology. Yet they come to us as specialists, as either a chemist or a physicist or a biologist. And we need to make sure that they feel confident in their subject knowledge to be able to teach any of the sciences. We have a very limited amount of time to be able to do this in, and it would be impossible to try and teach them all of the science that they needed to know. So I use a diagnostic technique with them at the beginning of the course, where I try and find out which areas of key stage three science, so that's in a secondary school, year seven through to year nine, where they feel confident, where their gaps are, where their misconceptions are, and then I try and address those problems as part of my subject knowledge and pedagogy teaching sessions that I give to the students.
So even though they are all science graduates, you've decided that there it may be a need to assess their knowledge and understanding of school level, secondary school level science.
Yeah, many of them haven't actually thought about the science that they did in the secondary school, perhaps for 10, 15, even 20 years with some of the entrants that we have. And also, I mean, it's very easy, if hand on heart, and I know I did it myself as a student, to, you know, learn something parrot fashion for a GCSE exam or for a Key Stage 3 SAT exam or whatever, and not actually really be able to understand it. And as a teacher, you do need to understand the underlying science to be able to have the confidence to be able to explain it to pupils and to be able to answer questions.
So your diagnostic assessment is targeting their underlying understanding. It's going beyond what they can say that they know.
Yes. What I do is I've got two assessments that I use. One which I give to all of the students, which is specifically aimed at Key Stage 3. And that's based on the national curriculum at Key Stage 3 for chemistry. And it targeted, there were questions on each of the different areas. And I'm trying with the questions to bring out some of the common misconceptions that pupils and adults have about those areas of chemistry. And additionally, I ask the students to rank how confidently they felt they answered the question. So whether they're absolutely confident, yes, I think I know this inside out, or whether it was actually I took a bit of a guess here. And if I got the right answer, that was more luck than judgment. And then in the second set of assessments I use, those are specifically for my chemists, and it's to think about their GCSE and their A-level chemistry knowledge, because again, some of them have become very specialised in the chemistry that they've been used to working with, you know, particularly if they've just come out of doing a PhD or they've just come out of doing their final year undergraduate project. And they've not thought about sort of more basic chemistry for a long time. And that diagnostic assessment is based on a higher tier GCSE chemistry exam. And again, the same thing, I ask them to rank their confidence ratings for each of the questions that they answer.
How would you say the construction of a diagnostic assessment instrument differs from, say, a test, you know, a typical exam type?
I think on several different ways. I mean, I realise I use a sort of very traditional method of diagnostic testing. I could be using something more like a concept map or concept cartoons, where I was asking my students to sort of think about what they think they understand, as opposed to asking them very specific questions. But I think even with my quite sort of formal and, dare I say, old-fashioned methods, I think the two big differences are the inclusion of the confidence ratings And you know, I really do stress those, and they are there at the end of each question. And secondly, in the way that I actually introduce the diagnostic assessment in the first place, in that I explain to the students that my reasoning behind it is that I'm not trying to test them, I'm not trying to catch them out. I genuinely want to know what do they know and what do they understand at this point in the course, so that I can design my teaching sessions so that they're as most useful as possible for them. And I ask them not to look up answers, not to cheat, for want of a better word, but I try and avoid using that word, that it really is coming from what they've got in their heads at the moment. And I find that some of them feel quite uncomfortable about that to start off with, and particularly because it's at the beginning of the course, and they're wanting to be seen to be keen, and they're wanting to be seen to be doing things right. You know, that giving them permission to not know things and to be finding something difficult, particularly if it's at a level that they think they ought to know, because, you know, we are talking about school level and we're, you know, and they're all graduates and sort of working at postgraduate level. That takes a bit of time, and it takes a bit of explaining, but usually after about a 20-minute conversation with them, they feel comfortable about it, and I feel reasonably confident that they enter into the spirit of things, and that I can see from the papers that they give back to me that they're happily putting great big question marks and saying things like, I'm really not sure about this, or this was an absolute guess, or it's something a little bit like this. So I feel that I do actually get some very valuable information out of it.
In the last thing you said there, you're drawing attention to the confidence ratings, and that really is a distinct feature of the way you're doing this assessment. We're used in universities and schools to assessing the results of people's thinking,
yes.
But what you're doing is asking them to report how they actually feel about their... But what does that sort of information tend to tell you? How is it valuable to you?
Well, it's very valuable if they have got something wrong and they feel very confident, because that's telling you that you've got a really embedded misconception there that they perceive to be true and that they feel very confident about. And so there's a lot of unpicking that needs to be done there when I'm then planning my subject knowledge and my pedagogy session. And I find that a very useful way of tackling that is to absolutely say, you know, this is a common misconception that people have, this is a common truth that people hold, and that includes pupils in secondary schools. So where does this misconception come from? How do people get it in the first place? Let's work backwards from there to actually what is the you know, what is the real truth or a better truth. And also I find it interesting the other way around, when you've got somebody who is perhaps answering things correctly but is very unconfident about their answers. I mean, that's giving me information as a teacher about where they are in their head in terms of their self-esteem and their self-confidence. And so I, again, can do subtle things where I'm boosting their self-confidence. Because an important part of training to be a teacher is empowering your pupils and empowering your students, and I think it works on two levels. You know, I'm modelling to my students something that they might do with their pupils in the classroom, about it's okay to feel unsure about things, but equally have the courage of your convictions and be confident about what you're saying.
Can we just round off by looking at how you became, how you, I guess as a university teacher, you haven't always used diagnostic assessment. So if we look back, you know, how did you come to do that, and what are the sort of pros and cons? And now you reflect on the use of DA.
Well, I think I'm slightly unusual to some university teachers in that I was a secondary school teacher before I became a university teacher. And I have used diagnostic teaching as a secondary school teacher with my pupils. I found it very valuable, particularly with A-level students, when they were making the transition from GCSE to A-level, to have an understanding of where they were at before I started teaching the course. And again, what they felt comfortable about, what they felt confident about, and their misconceptions. Partly so that I didn't bore them to tears by going over things that they were already confident and happy about, and partly so that I could plan my teaching time most efficiently and effectively. Then when I moved to teaching in the university, my colleagues on the PGC, particularly on the science PGCE, used diagnostic assessment and diagnostic teaching to plan their key stage three sessions. And they suggested to me that I might find it something useful to do. So, you know, I gave it a go on my first year and have since then refined my tools and have taken it up to the more specialist level knowledge that my chemists need to have. So, I mean, I've extended it. I think where it's really useful is it gives me clarity about what I'm trying to fit into a limited amount of time. You know, I have about 12 hours of subject knowledge and pedagogy sessions, which is a drop in the ocean. And if I started completely from scratch, I mean, I could waste those 12 hours. Having the information I have from the diagnostic, I can be very targeted with what I decide to do. Where I encounter difficulty sometimes is that I feel overwhelmed with the amount that they appear not to know. And it's like, how do I handle this? And in some years, there are very clear areas that the majority of students all seem to be having difficulties with. So, for example, there are some years that none of my students seem to know how to be able to write chemical equations or balance equations. And that, you know, very clearly gives me a session that I must do. And there are other years, such as this year, where their needs are very, very diverse and very, very wide. And it's thinking about, well, how on earth can I possibly try and match my teaching to all of their needs? And so actually I've adapted what I'm going to do this year, and I've included many more sessions where it's much more student-led rather than teacher-led, and I'm trying to introduce them to the skills that they might use to improve their subject knowledge, and then giving them the time and space to be able to focus on particular issues that they have identified from being able to do the diagnostic assessment themselves.
Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts about diagnostic assessment.
My pleasure.